Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk production and distribution made possible by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. Dynamic growth, balanced income, select growth and income programs, My 401k, disciplined equity. These are the diversified programs designed to meet your goals and life situation. See more about them on InvestTalk.com. Just click on the Investments tab. And now today's InvestTalk podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Friday edition of InvestTalk. It is December 2nd, 2016. We have less than a month to go for the year. And I appreciate everybody being with me today. This is for the average investor that wants to be above average. That's what the show is about. It's a teaching show. I hope it is, anyways. I try to bring you some ideas and maybe some principles on how to manage a portfolio. I'm hoping that everybody listening to this show will get something from it. Today, if you don't have a 401k at work, have you considered a MIRA? That's going to be one of our main talking points today. In addition to our weekly premium newsletter that went out to our subscribers today, we send our monthly economic market forecast. We do that every month as well for December 2016. Both these things go out to InvestTalk insiders. By the way, this is not an exclusive club for the elite. Anybody who takes the time eligible to sign up. The monthly economic forecast is free. The premium newsletter is not. It's $10 a month. The economic forecast covers a bunch of things. The economy in general, the U.S. equities, foreign equities, fixed income, commodities, those kinds of things. So taking a look at today's newsletter, which I do almost every Friday, and each edition includes an overview of the week's market. It always does. And I mentioned that Thanksgiving week holiday, the last week, there was very little information. But this week, all that information was flooded in because everybody saved it up. And when I say everybody, I mean all the government agencies and offices saved it up and dumped it out this week. So there was a lot of information. Of course, the one everybody was waiting for was the jobs report this morning. The GDP for the third quarter was revised. Remember OPEC? I talked about OPEC and their meeting and what kind of effect that's had. What do you think it will have in the future? And of course, there's the popular stock ideas in the newsletter. Every week you get a couple of stock ideas. Portfolio manager section, we talked about risk and the different kinds of risks portfolios face. Different kinds of risks, like political risk, currency risk, those kinds of risks. Different kinds of risk, and we list them for you. Now, if you'd like to try the premium newsletter for a month risk-free, just go to investtalk.com and scroll down to the bottom of the page. Now, let's open the discussion to include you, of course. I could sit here and talk for the hour. It wouldn't be a problem, but I really would like your participation, as always. So let's begin with the Q&A portion. Let's go to our 24-hour listener line. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hey, gentlemen. Dan from Seattle. I had a question for you. My dad retired a few weeks ago, and he has a pension through the Navy, I believe, and a 401k. And his financial advisor through work is trying to push him towards an annuity for his 401k. And he was asking me about it. I've never looked into these. What's some of the questions he should be asking? I mean, what's your thought on them? Is there any, you know, books or literature you could point me towards to kind of get a background about it? Because I don't think this guy's like a fiduciary, so I don't know if this is in my dad's best interest or his advisor's best interest. So any advice on that would be greatly appreciated. Thank you, gentlemen. Really do appreciate the show.
Well, I can tell you it's not in your dad's best interest. A retirement account, such as a 401k and IRA, should not be used to buy an annuity, which is a tax-deferred instrument. So what you're doing is you're from a tax-deferred instrument, such as an IRA or 401k, you're buying another tax-deferred instrument. That never makes sense to me. Doesn't make sense. Why would you do that? And annuities are expensive. So you're already paying the cost for a 401k, for instance. That's not cheap, too. And now you're just adding layers of expense. So I would say no. You do not buy an annuity. I don't like annuities anyways because they're generally expensive and they're tax-deferred, not tax-free. There's issues I have with them. The insurance company has to be You know, you got to, how strong is the insurance company? Because annuity is only as good as the strength of the insurance company. Does your dad want to tie up the money? What's the holding period of the annuity? How many years? 7 years, 10 years, 15 years? Can he take money out without a penalty? But then again, why, you know, if it's an IRA, is he old enough to even take out money without a penalty? It's just, okay. The answer is no. I'll understand as that. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. If you don't have a 401k at work, how about a MIRA? That's one of our talking points today. I think we'll discuss it. And I want you to be I want you to know what a MIRA is, because it's not as good as it sounds. And I think, and I want to explain why. Will there be 401k changes in 2017? That's going to be another talking point that's related to this one. And the jobless rate fell to 4.6% today. That's pretty good. Lowest in 9 years. But how come most experts didn't feel so comfortable with this report? Didn't feel it was fine, but no one got excited about it. Why? And do you know that Sunday there's elections in Italy? Is that going to affect the EU? Do you know what those elections are? It's been kind of under the radar, probably because the news about Trump becoming president dominated the news waves. But I think we might want to just touch base on what that means, that election Sunday in Italy. What does it mean for the EU? Does it have wider consequences? And those are things we're going to talk about today, unless, of course, you want to talk about something different. The Dow was down 21 today. The S&P, the NASDAQ was up 5, and the S&P was up 1. So not much doing with the market today. I saw the dollar was weak and gold was strong, and oil is above $51 a barrel, all because of OPEC. And so that's what we're looking at. It looks like we're starting to get a little bit of give back, a little bit of rollover from the Trump rally, and that should be expected. Should be no surprise by that. And it doesn't surprise me, and I shouldn't surprise you. How much of a rollback or give back, we don't know, but, you know, it makes sense. And that's what's going on today. We had a lot of economic news out all week, and, you know, so much of it that, you know, I try not to talk about it because I'll bore you to death. I only try to talk about the highlights, and today we're going to focus on that jobs report at some point. 888-99-CHART is our number. I had an email question from Skyler. Skyler, we're going to get to that this hour, so don't worry, I will get to it. Wants to talk about Boeing. We're counting down to our Wealth webinar coming up next Wednesday at 6:30. It's an hour, 6:30 to 7:30. And I hope you can join us. How to prosper in a year of change, 2017. And boy, are we having a change, starting with the president. Now, we're going to show you how to capitalize on economic and political shifts in the coming year. Hopefully, we can show you that. Investing is all about looking ahead, everybody. Within that, we learn that from the past. You've got to look ahead. So how do you invest in tomorrow? Not in the yesteryear. That was one of the problems that people have. Beginners in investing look back and say, that worked before, so that must work now going forward. Doesn't happen that way. So 2017 will present different circumstances, different risks, and different opportunities as well. So just go to investtalk.com to sign up. You do have to sign up. Click on the Invest Talk tab, then webinar. And did I say it was free? Well, it's free. 888-99-CHART. Love to talk to you about anything financial, so just give me a call. I had an email from Skyler. And he said, you know, he works for Boeing, and he wanted to know if it was a good time to buy Boeing because they recently broke above the 52-week high. So does that mean they broke resistance and there it is, support on the stock? If not, what would be a good price to buy it at? So in fact, it did break out, okay, and it broke out 4 or 5 days ago. Okay, now the question is, how far is it going to run? I don't like to chase stocks, okay? But sometimes in a screaming bull market, you just buy it and you hold on. But I don't think we're in a screaming bull market. I think we're in a bull market phase, but I don't think it's, you know, it's going to have a pull. It's going to have its pullbacks, and I'd rather see you buy Boeing on a pullback. Why is Boeing going up so much? Because think about what Trump's going to spend money on. Military spending. Boeing has is a big, makes military jets. So they, you know, manufacture commercial, military aircraft, missiles, information and communication systems, right down their line, right? They're very happy about it. They're very happy about Trump being on winning. So it's $152.25, up 1.5% this week. And the question is that a good price? Well, the five-year P.E. average is 13 to 26, and the P.E. right now is 24. Based on next year's earnings it is much more reasonable, about 16, 17 P.E. So it's not too expensive. Not too. So I think it is, could be a good buy, but I still would wait for some kind of pullback. I would hope that you would get it. What you could do, because it did break out, and technically a breakout is it's going to keep going up. You could buy half a position here and then buy the rest on a pullback. Because Boeing's one of those big blue chip, it's a $93 billion company. Yeah, it's one of those big blue chip stocks that you hold on to. Pays a 2.9% dividend. It's solid. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So what's a MIRA? Should you be considered a MIRA if you don't have a 401k? And in general, the answer would be no. MIRA. What's a MIRA? It's a federally government-sponsored retirement account for people that don't have hardly any money and want to get started. Okay, that's what it is for. And what it does, there's no risk involved because they buy, you know, government-backed savings bonds with interest rates about 2% right now. So you can put some money away in this. And then once it's not supposed to stay in the MIRA, because as soon as you get, once the balance reaches $15,000 or 30 years have passed, you must roll it over into a standard Roth IRA. And it's after-tax money you're putting in there. So what's it good for? Well, people who can only save a few hundred dollars a month or a few $50 a month, very small amounts. And you don't have a 401k at work. But I don't know. If you're young and you don't have a lot of money, putting money in a government bond making 2% makes no sense to me. You should gather up some money and buy an index fund, a cheap one. That would make much more sense to me than buying a MIRA. I think it's kind of a waste of everybody's time, including the government's. Let's go to Mike in San Jose. How you doing, Mike?
Good, Steve. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I was wondering what your opinion would be for security WDAY.
Okay. You want to buy it?
I actually bought some aftermarket when it dropped. The earning came out and apparently wasn't good enough.
Yeah. It got hit hard today. There was a little hint of it yesterday, but it got hit hard today. It was down... Yeah, it's down for the week about, 12, 13% to $71.40. Workday, Inc. It is a $14 billion company. It's not that small. It's pretty big. Develops enterprise cloud-based applications for human capital management, payroll, time tracking, and procurement. The problem is it's not made any money ever until next year it's going to make 32 cents. It has huge sales growth, but it's making no money. For me, I would never buy this stock because of that. It doesn't have any money. It's going to make 32 cents per share. What's that worth? 10 bucks, maybe? With the growth rate, maybe 20 bucks at the top, and it's 71. Way too expensive there, Mike. Way too expensive. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. This is InvestTalk. Remember, we're not all stocks and bonds. Any money question is welcome. 888-99-SHARP. That's our 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Listen online.
Hi, Steve and Justin. Listen to your show on podcast. I've learned a lot, so thanks for that. I'm looking for your opinion on either GSK or BMY. I'm looking to add it as a core holding. I'm just wondering which you feel is better and at what price should I get in at. Okay. Thanks again for your show. Love all you do.
Now, we talked about BMY yesterday. I don't know if you remember. And I said it looks like a reverse island bottom. And I thought that was a positive thing. But on BMY, Bristol-Myers, you're going to have to pay up for it because it has really good numbers. GSK doesn't have the best numbers, but the stock has fallen down hard with a 5-year PE range of 12 to 19, and it's at 14 right now. They're going to make 276 next year after making 257 this year after 229 last year. But the sales growth has kind of flattened a little bit, and the stock prices got hit. So, if you're looking at both of them as good core holdings, both of them are good core holdings. GSK pays a 5.5% dividend because the stock got hit. Whereas BMY, the dividend is much less at, 2.7%. How about buying a half a position each? How about that? Because they're both big blue chip solid companies. BMY and GSK, and Bristol-Myers and GlaxoSmithKline is what the two are. And both of them are in the branded pharmaceutical area. Both have different reasons for being good stocks. Both are big blue chip kind of companies. 888-99-CHART. Will the 401k rules change next year, 2017? The answer is the contributions will not change. They will remain at 18,000. The plans themselves, the rules and regulations are not going to change. They're going to say, but what you're going to see is a lot more auto-enrolled plans, meaning when you start working for a company that has a 401k, you're automatically going to be enrolled in the program, in the 401k, automatically. You don't get a say. You get a say because you can opt out, but they're going to automatically enroll you in. You have to make a decision to opt out. Right now, most programs are, you have to make a decision to opt in. Why are they doing that? This is why. They have found over the years, studying this, that 91% of the people stay in a 401k and participate if they're auto-enrolled. If you have the option to enroll, in other words, you have to enroll in it, it's not auto-enroll, only 42% participate in the 401k plans. So you're going to see a lot more auto-enrolled plans. Also, you're going to see a lot more robo-advisors on these plans. And one of the reasons why you're going to see that is because, they changed the fiduciary rules. The fiduciary rules, remember, all the people in my business has to put you, the client, first. And you would think that would be just a normal assumption. Of course they put you first. You're the client. No. There were rules that we could, my industry people could put you in types of investments that is suitable for you, but not necessarily the best for you. Now that's changed. It's got to be the best. So you're going to see a lot more like KPP Financial. You're going to see us probably benefit from this because as a registered investment advisor, we don't have an angle. We don't have, I get paid a fee. I don't get paid from what products I sell you. I get paid for fee based on the assets under management. And the bigger the assets are, the faster I grow your assets, the more fee I get. So my desires are aligned with yours anyways. So the reason why you see robo-investing going to be popular is because there's no person behind it trying to sell you something. It's automatic. I mean, they can get away with being compliant with a new fiduciary rule by saying, this is a robotic, computer-driven investment program. Whether they can then just say it's just geared for the best with the best intentions for the client. They could say that. I'm not so sure. I don't know enough about robo-investing. I haven't seen it. There has been very little evidence of how it does in a down market. I'm going to be finding that very interesting when they get the first bear market and what happens to those robo-investments. Anyways, 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We had, as I said at the beginning of the show, we had a ton of information out, economic information out this week. And it was capped off today with the jobless report, the jobless for November, the job, how many jobs were created, how many were lost, what does it look like, that kind of thing. We had, what I've seen is evidence that the economy is slightly improving. Continually, slightly improving. And it's been doing this for now for several months. So hopefully it will continue. We're open to your money questions and comments at 888-99-CHART. That's how you can get through right now. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and this is Invest Talk.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. In case we haven't mentioned it, KPP Financial serves clients all across the U.S. If you'd like to have Steve review your retirement portfolio personally, you'll be ahead of the game. Steve carves out a few hours each month to meet with our podcast subscribers on Skype or telephone. It can be a very educational hour. To set up a time, go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab and then Portfolio Review. Listening to Invest Talk for Friday, December 2nd. Investors relying on the mainstream media for investment research better rethink their strategy and quickly. Lazy investment research could ruin your 401k. Well, that's one of our talking points next time. 888-99-CHART is how to get your talking point on Invest Talk right now.
888-99-CHART. We're going to go talk to Jerry in Palo Alto. How you doing, Jerry?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I appreciate the call.
Good. So I'm adding on to my house, and I did a refi, and I'm sitting on about $150,000 right now. Mm-hmm. The construction's not going to start for at least 3 or 4 months, and I'm wondering, is there any safe place other than just a savings account to park that money?
Hmm. The answer would probably be no.
Okay.
And that, I mean, there isn't, because the government has made sure that there isn't. You know, they've dropped interest rates so low that you can't do anything in a short term to be quote unquote safe and make any money. You just
right.
can't. There just doesn't exist. So I'm sorry to tell you.
I kind of want to park it so I don't have the temptation of day trading or something.
Exactly. Yeah, I wouldn't mess with it. It's your house money. Don't mess with it. You know.
Duh. Right. Right.
Jerry, appreciate the call.
Okay.
Thank you. Sorry I didn't give you a good enough answer, but there really isn't. Yeah, you know, we're talking about a short period of time. You can't really. I can tell you, go bankrate.com and you can find the best bank CD rates for 3 or 4 months, or the best savings rate, what, you know, usually credit unions are that. But that's still very low. Don't think, I'm not saying, but you get better than other banks. So the jobs report for November came in today. The unemployment rate fell to 4.6%. What's 4.9? That's the lowest it's been in 9 years, so that's good news. There was 178,000 new jobs produced. That's a little bit disappointing. They expected 200,000, but you know, still good, solid number. What was another little disappointment is that earnings, hourly earnings, went down 0.1% in November. That's the first decline since December of 2014. So all of 2015 and all of this year up until November, hourly earnings went up. Now they went down a tenth. Now, year over year, earnings are up at about 2.5% year over year. So that's good, but still a little bit disappointing why it didn't go up. And just so you know, I mean, we want to make sure, you know, look at the, why did it drop to 4.6% to 4.9% with only 178,000 new jobs? Because that, remember, there's workers coming, new workers graduating from college or whatever, all the time coming into the workforce. Well, one of the reasons why it dropped is 226,000 people fell out of the workforce. The U6 number, what's that? You're going to say, what's U6? That's another unemployment number which counts part-time workers who want to be full-time. So you count them as not fully employed. That number is 9.3%. And that fell from 9.5. So it did improve a little bit, a couple ticks. But it's still pretty high. One of the highest numbers in any economic recovery, this stage of an economic recovery. So it's not all good news. It's not bad news. I'm not saying that. But it's decent news. We would call it decent news. Okay? 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We're going to go talk to Ramesh in San Jose. How you doing, Ramesh?
Yeah, hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. I want to know, what's your take on the PANW? Palo Alto Network.
Okay, it is PANW, PANW, Palo Alto Networks, provides network security infrastructure, network security infrastructure products for enterprises, services providers, and government entities. I like the area where it is, and it's $11.5 billion company, so it's a really good size, and it's growing very, very fast. When I say that, sales grew 34% in the most recent quarter. Before that, it was in the 40s and 50s every quarter, so it fell a little bit in the recent quarter, and that's why I've seen some hesitancy in the stock price. Okay, it's gone down. But I don't think, I think this looks like a buying opportunity being set up. It's still very, the PE range is 62. I mean, it's really high. Remember, the average PE for the S&P 500 is 15 over any length of time. But this company is growing very, very strong, so it gets a higher PE. Has very good return on equity. Not a ton of debt. Management owns 5%. So it's got some good things going for it. Earnings are growing 40% this year, then another 34% next year. Good, everything good. So this might be a buying opportunity. It's still falling, though, Ramesh. Wait till it stops falling. I think it might stop falling about 118, 120, somewhere in there. So let's just wait to let it turn sideways for a while. But I think it's a good company to keep an eye on. It's a growth stock. Growth stocks, and I've been saying this, I think value stocks are going to work better in 2017, but that doesn't mean you never buy a growth stock. It just means you got to be more careful with them. That's all. So, Ramesh, yeah, I like it, but not here, not yet, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Ramesh, I appreciate it. You want to make sure that it's done falling, and you got to, I would really read all the articles about why it's falling. They'll tell you. And you see if that the reason is temporary, or is it something, is all of a sudden competition going to come and eat their lunch going forward? You kind of want to know that, and I can't tell that from looking at it right quick, like when we're on the radio here. Time for InvestTalk. Time for InvestTalk. Coming to terms. Investing terms you need to understand. Definitions from our friends at Investopedia.com. I like Investopedia.com a lot. For people to learn about investing. Excuse me. What is par value? You've heard me talk about it, and most of the time I talk about it in conjunction with bonds. And what it is, it's the face value of a bond. Par value for shares, because you can use it for, you might hear that term, but it's rare. You might hear par value for shares, refers to the stock value stated in the corporate charter, which usually has nothing to do with the actual price of the stock. But I don't want you to get confused. Most of the time, people talk about par value, it's in conjunction with bonds, fixed income instruments. Okay? And you really have to understand, par value for a bond is typically 1,000, 100, even number. And it usually talk about bonds start at par when they're first issued. They're issued at par. You can buy $100,000 worth of bond at par for $100,000. And then you get a certain percent interest rate for the length of the bond, whatever length they're going to issue it for, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever the bond. And they'll pay you an interest every year, a yield out of that bond every year, the same yield. But the value of that bond can go up and down before it matures based on what's going on in interest rates. Interest rates go up, value of bonds go down. The par value always stays the same. And the par value at the beginning of the bond is exactly the same value as the end of the bond. They pay par. So if you hold on to it till it matures, you get par value back. You get the exact same money amount you get back, and in between you get your yield. So you can just totally ignore the value of the bonds during that period of time and just collect the yield, whatever that is, 3%, 2%, 5%, I don't know, and then collect the par value to get your money back when it matures. That's what a par value is all about when you're talking about bonds. Now, if you buy a bond in the aftermarket, in other words, it's already been issued, and now I'm going to buy it, you know, you issued last year, I'm going to buy that bond because someone wants to sell it. You can buy it at a premium to par or a discount to par, depending on what the interest rate is, right? It doesn't have to sell at par. It just generally doesn't. Hope that makes sense. I hope I made that clear. Do you have a question about investing terms? Give us a call, 888-99-CHART. I might not know all of them, but I know a lot of them. So you can give me a call at 888-99-CHART or click on Contact Stephen at InvestTalk.com and send me an email.
Our InvestTalk mission is to help you make better investing decisions. To do that on your own, thumbs up or thumbs down choices based on good, solid investing principles. But we need your questions to keep us on track. 888-99-CHART or click on Contact Steve or contact Justin on investtalk.com.
Hi, Stephen, Justin. This is Jason from Buffalo, New York. I have a fairly basic question, but I'd like to hear the answer. There's a lot of talk from the Fed about raising interest rates, and there's been a lot of talk about what that would do to the economy, but my kind of basic question was, I thought, well, why does the Fed really want to raise interest rates in the first place? I get that it's a more normal environment if interest rates are higher, but why is that preferable? Thank you.
Okay. Normally, and I say normally because we are not in a normal interest rate environment, but normally the Federal Reserve would raise interest rates to slow the economy so that money will slow down. Remember, our economy moves based on the flow and the speed of money transactions. That's all it is about. So if the Federal Reserve, if the economy is growing really fast, the theory is if the economy's growing really fast and inflation's going to come, and the Fed says, I need to slow down the economy, because that's one of its mandates, to keep control of inflation, keep a steady growth of economy. So they would raise rates to slow the economy down, because that would take money out of the banking system and it'd be just a little bit restrictive. Okay? Now the interest rates are very, very, very low. That's very accommodating to the economy. Very extremely so. So the reason why they would raise rates now, because there is no inflation, the economy is not overheating, so there's no reason to slow the economy down. But today they would raise rates because they're so very low. Well, what's wrong with low rates? They are thinking ahead. They need to normalize, quote unquote, normalize interest rates so that they can fight the next recession. How would they fight that next recession? By lowering interest rates to stimulate lending and growth of money in the system. So they want to get it up so that they can then lower it to stimulate the economy next time. If it's already super low, at zero, they can't lower it much. They have to go to negative rates. And that's been proven in Europe and in Japan that it ain't working. It does. Negative rates don't work. So that's why they're raising rates. There's no really fundamental. They're going to say the economy, there's full employment, and the economy, you know, we're worried about future. No, they're going to come up with some lame excuse about why they have to raise the rates. But in actuality, and believe me, trust me in this, in actuality, they're going to raise the rates because they want some ammunition on the next recession. If they can raise the rates without damaging the economy now, they want to do it. Also, raising rates, they also don't just think about our economy, they think about the world economy, because higher rates here in the U.S. ripples through the rest of the world. It really does. Time. So 888-99-CHART, that was a good question, by the way. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. It was. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, did you know there was an election in Italy this Sunday? Do you know what it's about? This is a constitutional change of their constitutional election. That's what this is about. And it's going to take away a power from their Senate and centralize it more in their prime minister. Why is that important? because it also is likely to make it harder for the weak Italian banks to recapitalize. Now, why is that so? Well, there's reasons for it. But so they're going to try, if this happens, then these banks are already weak. And what this will do will cause a lot more uncertainty. And we already have Brexit, Britain leaving the EU. Will this lead to the next country to step out of the EU? That's the speculation. What this is all about, what this is, whole thing is about, is it's going to produce more uncertainty if this happens. Uncertainty for the EU. And the EU is already weak. I mean, we haven't seen much recovery at all. Our recovery is far superior to the EU bank, EU system. I probably can tell you why. A socialist system that they had, the semi-socialist system they had, does not work very efficiently. It's as simple as that. Our system works more efficiently because we're less socialist. Even though we're moving in the direction of Europe, we are less socialist. And free market economies may have boom and bust cycles, but the boom cycles are much stronger than in a socialist system. There's much more profit motive, much more incentive by individuals and groups of people and corporations to make money. I know that sounds kind of crass, make money, but I see nothing wrong with that. That produces more economic opportunities for everybody. So it's that kind of thing. That's probably why the EU is not working so well. And here they are. Then they layered this extra layer of government called the European Union on top of all the countries. And so now you got layer upon layer upon layer of rules and regulations, and that always slows down economies. Just does. 888-99-CHART. Love to talk to you. Anything financial. We had a big week on economic numbers this week coming out, and most of it was kind of on the upbeat side, so that was good. So what's in store? I think we're done with the Trump rally. Now the market's going to return to what it wants to return to. And we're going to see that over the next few weeks. Well, it'll be interesting. If you're listening to Invest Talk, we've got another segment left. We'll take time for your call if you can do it right now. 888-99-CHART is our number. It's our anytime listener line number, so you can call it anytime. And we're here for you.
Hi, my name is Bill. I'm calling from Royersport, Pennsylvania. I listen to Invest Talk via podcast. And I was calling about the stock GPC, Gary, Paul, Charlie. I would love to hear your opinion on this stock. I would like to purchase this stock. And also, if you could give me an entry point. Thanks, Steve. Love your show.
Okay, this is Genuine Parts Company. It is a $14 billion company, distributes automotive, industrial replacement parts, office products, electronics in North America through 2,650 centers, stores. They're going to make $4.59 a share this year, then $4.91 next year. It's flat from this year to last year, so then it's going to go up 7% next year. The sales have been kind of flat for the last couple of years. So there's no catalyst that I see unless the economy picks up. Pays a 2.7% dividend. The stock is trading at a 21 PE right now. It's a $95.75 stock. And the 5-year average PE range is 14 to 24. Return on equity is very good at 22%, but I think it's too expensive. I would not touch it at this point because of the cost of it. Remember, it's not growing. It's kind of flat. Earnings are kind of flat. So you never want to buy more than market average PE for something like this, which is 15, and it's at 21. So even if the earnings go up to 491 next year, that's still not cheap enough. The stock, I would not buy this company. There's no reason to think that you're going to do well. GPC is a symbol. GPC. Okay, for all you football fans out there, they have the Pac-12 playoff tonight between Washington and Colorado. And the only reason why I bring it up is because my nephew plays for Washington. His name is Dante Pettis. He's a wide receiver, starter. So I'll be watching that game. Just letting you know. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Love to talk to you about anything financial. Have you noticed the mortgage rates lately? Mortgage rates have gone up. They're a little bit, the 30-year fix is a little bit over 4%. Bonds, bond values have been really hurt, meaning interest rates have gone up. So, for instance, you can take a look at the Vanguard Total Bond Market ETF, the symbol's BND. When Trump, just before Trump was elected, it was trading at $82.75 to $83. Today it's 80. Now for a bond, that's a big move. That's a big move down. Why did it move down? Because interest rates move up. Why did interest rates move up? Well, everybody already knew that the Fed was probably going to raise rates. This was based purely on Trump winning the presidency. Why would interest rates rise? Well, it's not hard to figure out because he's going to spend money, right? He's going to go in there and spend money. So there's one concern there, but he's also going to, by spending that money, try to stimulate the economy. And if he speeds up the economy, the assumption is, remember, investors are looking forward, way out there in the future. They're saying, okay, if he does that, then the economy is going to get better. Therefore, the dollar should get stronger because we have a better economy than our competitors. And when the dollar gets stronger, bond values go down. So to gold. Interest rates are going to go up because if he speeds up the economy, we have to fight it by raising the rates so we don't have too much inflation. It's all interrelated. You just can't say one thing and that's it. So people worry a little bit about inflation. Investors. So bond values, and they at this point, the investors, bond investors think he's going to be successful in speeding up the economy, thus maybe causing more inflation. That's the thinking, whether it's right or wrong. Remember, I wrote in my book, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor, I wrote in that book saying that experts are always wrong. All experts are always wrong. So don't, just because they think something's going to happen, doesn't mean it's going to happen. Something could change the whole picture. Never know. My time is up for this hour. A reminder to sign up for our free wealth webinar coming up on December 7th at 6:30 to 7:30 Pacific Time. How to Prosper in a Year of Change 2017. It's free, but you do need to register on investtalk.com. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP Financial, I want to thank you for listening today. And we'll be here on Monday. Why don't you join us again?
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.